Blog Talk Radio. Okay, we may be on the air, and I'm not even sure. Hi, this is Jennifer Perry, Madam Perry, your host, groove mistress, and spiritual advisor. And I think tonight's show, I'm not even sure if you can hear me. If you are somewhere and you are listening to me, like maybe the people at Creative Play and Podcast Network, let me know. Give me a signal if... I think my guest has dropped out a couple of times, and it's Zeta, and she is magnificent. And maybe she's just got too much star quality for this station. But let's see if we can get her again. Now, what I'm going to do right now is play the intro music, just in case we didn't get it before. And again, if you're listening, text me on my phone, text me on Facebook for Jennifer Maudette Perry, and let me know you're there, and let me know if you hear me. But unless you can't, then you won't say a thing about it, I'm sure. So let's see what's going on. Is my audio connected? Yeah, it's connected. And for the input, is it connected for the output? Let's check it out. It says it is. Okay, and sound. Oh, okay. Says we're connected. For mic, for audio, input, output, the levels, kind of good. But let's see what we got here. System, sound. It's like I almost hope you can't hear this because it's so boring, but at least you know I'm trying. Now let's try this, the input. Does it sound any better? Maybe? Well, let's see if my guest can hear me. Hi, is this Zeta?
Hi, how are you?
Hello, how are you, honey? Boy, this has been a wacky start here. And thanks to my friend James Spring. He's out there listening. He knew I was a little bit nervous. I don't know what went wacky. I don't know. Has there been a Chinese weather balloon found again? I'm really not sure, Zeta. And James Spring, you sweetheart, thank you for letting me know that you can hear me and hear Zeta, because you're going to love this show, honey. Everybody's out there listening. Everybody's staying their own standby. So I'm going to go ahead.
I cannot wait.
Yay! I'm going to play the intro music and come back like it's all brand new. So everybody's got like a behind-the-scenes look of all the weird stuff that can go wrong. And fortunately, I have got the most understanding audience. They've been through this with me for years. So you're ready. I'm ready. I'm thrilled that you're here. And I'm going to mute you very quickly. And then we're going to come back and the party's going to start. Ready?
Awesome.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Welcome once again to Madam Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you, the podcast where fascinating people meet. I am your host, your groove mistress, spiritual advisor, Madam Perry, but you don't have to call me Madam. You can call me Jennifer, Jen, JP, Perry, I'm just happy to be here and happy that you are too. And this has been kind of a funny behind-the-scenes look, as I was saying, but thanks to all my good friends out there who are texting me that they're listening and saying, yeah, we're there. Everything's it's going to be great. Don't worry. It's going to be fine. So, and it will be, because this guest that I have tonight is, I said she's sensational, and that is an understatement. So I'm just going to go ahead and bring her in and start. Zeta, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, that is perfect. Okay. Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you, dear, and I appreciate it. You know, I've always found the more professional a guest is, the more easy they are to work with all the time. And fortunately, I've had so many wonderful pros like you on the show to talk to. Now, I'm going to go over now our blurb here in the intro says, because you're a musician, you're a writer, songwriter, singer. I have no idea what else is going on that you haven't told me, because I got a feeling there's a whole lot more to Zeta. So we're going to start off. What do you want to start off with? Your music, your books? What came first?
You start off with whatever you would like to start off with.
Okay, all right. Okay, and as I usually tell guests before a show starts, I usually say, by the way, especially if it's somebody that has talking points, you know, they got, and I'll say, I've had herding dogs from corgis to shepherds for most of my life, so I'm easily herded. So if you need to move to a different subject or want to bring up something else, I'm, again, easily herded. You can segue or whatever. But, okay, so I know you're an author, and my good, and reading the reviews of your books, I've got both your books, but tell me, what inspires you to begin a story? And I've got to say, musicians seem to be, I think it's because of all the stories and the behind the scenes and the stuff that you go through. I was talking about this to a musician Saturday night, and then people that I've had on the show, they'll start writing fiction. Is that part of the inspiration, that you see so much and so many stories that you say, oh, well, you couldn't make this up?
Well, I started performing at a very young age, all throughout college. Then I started writing. I learned how to play the guitar, and I started writing some songs. From there on, I released my first record, which was Train Ride. I joined a band, and of course, you know, you're trying to promote the record, you're gigging everywhere. And then eventually, a couple of years later, I joined a band in Miami, and I've gigged pretty much my entire teenage years till now. The cool thing about it was one day my sister bought me this book because of the cover of the book. And she's like, I thought you would enjoy reading this book. And at the time, the genre was cozy mystery, and I didn't even know that the cozy mystery genre existed. I enjoyed the book so much that I bought like 10 other books from her series. So my sister one day, she was like, you read so many of these books, you should try writing a book. And at that moment, I was like, okay, I'll take on the challenge. let me try writing a book, which, by the way, is completely different than writing a song that's about 3 minutes long, as opposed to a book that's like 70,000 words. So what I did is I pretty much wrote what I knew, which was music, gigging, and then I added a couple murders in there. And luckily at the time, my drummer was a homicide detective, so I questioned him on everything. You have no idea. I would call him about, you know, like, how fast would you find out if this person was murdered like this? And, you know, it was just like, so when he read my first draft of the first murder of, in the last note, the first book of the series, he, you know, calls me back and he's like, listen, Z, we don't find out how a person died like that fast. We're good, but we're not that good. And I was like, oh my God, I have to learn how to kill someone properly. You know? I thought watching Lifetime movies gave me, you know, some sort of like, I could kill someone nicely, but turns out that I had no idea how to kill someone properly. So he helped me a lot when it came to writing all the murders in my first novel. Yeah, which is great because that way I didn't have to Google it. I don't even want people to know what's in my search when it comes to my Google search, to be honest with you.
Listen, I've heard that from people like Simon Wood and so forth. And they say that, you know, my search history would be awful. You said your drummer was a homicide. Okay, you know what? My first husband was a homicide detective. So you
but
say
no? You know the stories you can get. You know.
So yeah, well, you said you have no idea. I kind of got an idea. So.
I know. I must have called him so many times, and I remember when this one phone call, because I was doing my research and I called him and I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, well, I go, do you have a second? Because I need to ask you a question. He goes, well, I'm like currently in an apartment in Sunny Isle Beach standing over a dead body. So I can't really talk right now. And I was like, oh, okay. I'll call you back later so I can get details because I may have to add it in my book somehow. And he's like, oh, okay. So, going back to your original question, yeah, music kind of inspired me to write my books, but I just added a couple of murders in there. But I like the cozy mystery genre because, you know, the people who die in these books, you're okay with them dying. So you're like, okay. And it's not like gruesome. It's like a chill murder and, you know, you're okay with it. And so I really do enjoy writing the cozy mystery genre. I really do.
Okay. I love this. You know, it's so you know, it's you say that it's like you think about it, like if you watch any kind of those murder mysteries that you watch, especially the British or whatever. And then I thought, well, you said that about, well, you don't really mind. Last night, my husband and I were friends. We went to see Colin Hay perform. And Colin, if you don't recognize the name, anybody, you may know him from his big 80s hits like Land Down Under, Who Can It Be Now, with Men at Work. That was his band. And he was talking about it. He said, you know, do you remember those songs, Zeta? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
No, that's unless it's a Working for the Weekend. Is that one of the songs?
No, but that's Huey Lewis. That's pretty doggone. I think that's Huey. I don't know.
Okay.
Do you come from
only
a land down
I was
under?
To learn it.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, that's
yes,
fun.
Yes.
Yeah, that one. Uh-huh. Or Who Can It Be Now? So anyway, he was talking about, he said, where he grew up in a tough neighborhood in Scotland before his family moved to Australia. But he said, but I always knew my parents loved me. My mother loved me so unconditionally that years later, about 20 years ago, he said, I was doing some acting and she sees me on a TV show where I'm playing a bad cop. And I take some guy in a wheelchair and push him into a pool and drown him. And she says, are you watching this? My mother says, well, he must have done something pretty bad for you to do that. So,
Oh my God. So
I'm sure that, you know, any character, you know, you've written about, they had you gave people a reason to do whatever they did to them. So that is fascinating, though, that to have the mix with the music and so forth. So you started writing, and what was your first, I mean, the fact that your sister encourages you, so you feel like, okay, somebody sees this in me. And all the musicians I know have such amazing stories of things that happen behind the scenes and with people and that they're dealing with. And so that gives you even more. But when you first started writing and finished that, did you show bits of it to your sister or to friends, or did you wait until it was published to tell everybody they could look at it?
No, I definitely would send many drafts to my sister, and so she could kind of, because remember, it was my first time ever writing a novel, so I was not really 100% secure in my writing. And then I kind of joined many groups on social media where I followed many cozy authors. And since I read so many, I was inspired by how they wrote. So I was trying to kind of follow the same formula that they used in their novels. So my sister definitely, she got many drafts of this book. finally, so did my drummer. So he really had to, you know, he was my number one research go-to person. So he helped me a lot when it came to details and so forth. And luckily, like everyone that is in my life, or at that point, someone was a character. So I based pretty much everyone, every character that's in the first book pretty much is based on someone that's in my life, especially the character Alexia, which is Vice, pretty much based off my actual sister, and the relationship that they have in both books is pretty much the relationship that my sister and I have, like, in real life. So, you know, we're always joking around. There's always, like, you know, just we're really close. So she actually became more popular. The character Alexia actually became more popular than the main character Vi, which I love it. I absolutely love that. But finally, when I finished, yeah, I mean, it was, I don't mean to change the subject, but it was to the point that I had one of my first book signings at a library, and I tend to play a couple songs of my original music after a book signing. And I was signing a couple of books, and my sister was there with me because she sings backup vocals for me. And this man comes up to her, and he says, "Oh, can you please sign my book?" And she looks at me confused, like, why is he asking me? Because she's like, I didn't write it. And in his mind, like, he was looking at Alexia. My sister was like, what do I do? I'm like, I'm whispering to her. I'm like, just sign the book. And she's like, okay. So he's like, she's signing the book, looking at me, because she's like, I've never autographed anything in my life. I'm cracking up. I'm extremely happy. And at the end, he's like, so are you really dating that detective? And she's like, no, I'm dating someone, but it's not a detective. She was like so confused. I was like, well, I love how people, you know, automatically thought of her as Alexia or me as Vi. And so it was a really cool experience that people really kind of relate to these characters. So it kind of showed me that I did something right, I guess, in writing them. So,
So you and your sister make quite a team, since she was the one that put you on this path.
She's my whole family. I'm really lucky. I have always been supportive. I've always been the artistic one in the family. So ever since, you know, I got my first record deal and so forth, I remember my father was like, you know, I encourage you to do it, but I want a diploma from college, and then you can go and tour the world if you want to. I was like, okay, perfect. So I graduated college. And then I, you know, did my music thing. So I've always had a very, you know, supportive family. And the fact that my sister was like, well, if you can write, you know, songs, you should try writing a book. And I was like, you know, that was a good challenge. I'm going to go for it. And then I just finished releasing the second one, which same characters. I added a few more in The Key of Dead. So, but again, Alexia's back, and a couple of other new characters are back. Or new characters are in the book.
I love that. You know, I want to, also want to say, since we're on live right now, if you are listening live, because as soon as this is over, I don't know if my producer Megan told you, but as soon as the show is over, about an hour later, it's available everywhere from Spotify to Apple Podcasts, iHeart Radio, and everywhere. But people can still listen or download for free. But if you're listening right now, and it's March 18th, 2024, 8:21 p.m. Eastern Time, or was it GMT minus 5 or 4 with E? Anyway, if you're listening live, to Zeta, if you want to call in, the number is 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922. Just give us a call and talk to her about music or writing or whatever. Now, I was going to read a couple. Excuse me, I've got a noisy corgi down there. They get, like, before the show, do you have pets?
I have a cat.
Oh, okay. You probably don't.
Yeah.
It's probably easier to manage. These are, like, quiet until it's time for the show, and then it's all, hey, you got a great guest coming on tonight. It'd be a shame if something went wrong with your sound system, wouldn't it? Hey, maybe a couple of priests might help. You know, they might turn into old-time gangsters. So, but anyway, but we're going to get to your – let me read one review, and then we'll open up the phone. We've got people waiting to talk to you. And then we're going to play some Zeta music. So I want to just read Zeta in the Key of Dead. And, you know, I'm sure you read your reviews on Amazon or Goodreads or wherever. And is it hard to do? You get great reviews, but is it every time you go in, is it like unwrapping a plain package? You don't know what you're going to get?
Yes, it's very hard, but at the same time, I think to myself, okay, if it's not a great review, hopefully the person is detailed enough to let me know why she did not like it, and then I can improve my writing, you know, for the next book. So it's more of a learning how to improve my writing or the books. But yeah, every time I read it, I'm like, please at least let it be 4 stars. Please, please, please. You know?
I don't have to have all 5, okay. Just give me 4. So
yeah, just give me 4. I'll be fine with 4.
Well, listen, let's go ahead. I've got a caller here from Atlanta, Georgia, and we're going to bring her here into the genie bottle with us. And hi, welcome to Madam Perry's Salon. We're here with Zeta. And just introduce yourself. Get comfortable.
Hi, Zeta. Hi, Jennifer. This is Michelle. I'm in Sandy Springs. And I'm actually in a music family. My husband's a musician. And so this really has me. I'm very interested in reading the books, and I've got the book coming down on Kindle, so I'm really excited about it.
Cool.
But I definitely want to applaud Zeta. I love the term from Bulletproof Queen Teflon. I think that's amazing. It's a great, great term. How did you come up with that?
Funny enough, my sister actually helped me come up with that. So, yep, my sidekick, she did help me come up with that. One night I started composing that song, and I just kept singing the same line that, you know, since 1999 I've always been a bulletproof queen, but for some reason I couldn't, like, finish it, so I called my sister and I played it for her. And I said, okay, before I play this for you, I'm going to sing this first song and just finish the sentence, okay? She's like, okay, go. So I played it for her, and she completed it with a Teflon heart. I was like, thank you. I love you. I'm going to go, you know, finish writing my Grammy-considered song now. She's like, okay, good luck. So that's literally how it came out.
That is amazing. I love that. A while ago, one of my heartbreaks, my girlfriends and I were sitting around talking, and I said, I wish there was a way we could spray Pam on our heart so things would just slide off when you turn the pan over. But I like Teflon better. And I have to tell you, I really love that song. It's such a different take at a different, basically a tempo for you from your other stuff, because I actually love Stay. That song guts me every time I hear it. So I mean, I hate to be the one to tell you that, like, I have to hide all the plastic knives when I listen to it. It's a beautiful song, and I really love the song. It's great.
I appreciate it. It was actually one of my most difficult songs to write. I was daddy's little girl, and he passed away, and the first thing I wanted to do was write a song for him. And for some reason, I was very frustrated because it took me years to compose a song, and finally it happened. I wrote it in like 15 minutes, probably more than 4 years after he passed away, and it finally came out. So when I recorded the song, it was one of the most difficult songs I had ever recorded, but it felt I finally had a song for him. So I appreciate that. That's one of your favorite songs. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. And I actually could feel it. I'm sorry, Jennifer. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. Go right ahead.
Oh, well, I did have a question a little bit deeper than the music. So now it's obvious between your music and between the books, which I read the reviews of your books. I haven't gotten them on my – well, they're down on my Kindle now, so I promise to read them because I love that genre. But, you know, storytelling is obviously a talent of yours and a passion. And other than writing music and writing, your novels, and praying that there will be a third coming out at some point, how else do you exercise that passion?
So first of all, I started the third. So and it's going really well so far.
Yeah. I feel like I'm streaming. I'm like streaming, and then all of a sudden it comes to an end, and you're like, oh, crap on a cracker. Where's the next one? So I'm glad to know that before I get started, there's going to be a three.
There is. You're making me so happy right now. I'm so excited. Yes. There is going to be a three. It's going to be the last one of the series as well. But I write a lot of poetry. And one of the things I do eventually want to do is publish a poetry book. With all these scattered thoughts that I have, I've written on napkins, on post-it notes, on the back of every book you could possibly imagine. Anything I find, I write little blurbs of anything. So eventually I would like to just put that all in one book and maybe publish a poetry book.
That's amazing. Huh. Well, then, of course, you know, I'll have to get that on my Kindle as well. So I'll be on the lookout. I can imagine what they just thinking right now. I did this podcast, and all of a sudden I got this stalker, and I'm like, no, it's not that way. I promise I'm not.
I love having stalkers. Michelle, you can stalk me anytime.
There we go. You all heard it. I'm sure. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, since we're talking about the music, why don't we go ahead and, yeah, you're right. I know the same thing, Michelle. You know, there's Savannah and Stay, all the other songs, and you love them all, and then Bulletproof Queen comes out, and it's bam! You know, this is like our anthem. And this is our sisterhood. And so just the range of the way that you write music is great. So how would you feel about if we just all take a moment and listen to Bulletproof Queen? And you know what? We can, I'll mute stuff through here. Everybody can go get an adult beverage or coffee or whatever you want. And I'm going to play Bulletproof Queen. It's, you know, normally people don't play a song this long on a podcast or show, but it's just so darn good. And if you love the song, you'll really love the video. So I'm going to go into Bulletproof Queen.
Since 1999, I've always been a bulletproof queen with a Teflon heart. Don't get me wrong, I've been taking this, chewed up and then pulled apart.
She's a bulletproof queen. Yes, she is. What, was it coming back again? Okay.
Oh, love it.
I do, too. Me too. Now, listen, I was going to say, if you're listening live tonight during the show, you can certainly call in the questions at 646-716-9922. Or for people who, and I think most of us have been here, if you're at a place where you can't make a phone call, maybe you're at a job or somewhere quiet, you know, like, I don't know, babysitting or something where you got to be quiet. You can always message in the question on Facebook if you want to, through either Madame Perry Salon or through my page, Jennifer Maudette Perry, and I will always share the question with the guest. Also, because a lot of my listeners listen to the show after the live broadcast when they're driving to work or to school or when they're jogging. So I will always make sure that since you can't write it down where you are, that all of my social media will tell you how to find Zeta. And speaking of that, I do have a message from, I got a message from JS in Arizona. Who says,
okay,
where's the best place to follow you on social media where you'll be forming, performing or doing book signings? And he says, you know, so we can find your next performance or book event. And where's the best place to get your books and music? Thank you, James.
Hi, James. Thank you. Thank you as well. Best place to find out where everything is happening in my life, artistically that is on Instagram, which is Zeta Music, Z-A-I-D-A Music. I post everything there, events, book signings, any gigs I may have coming up. And you can purchase my music as well on everywhere from Amazon to Spotify to Apple Music. You can find my books on Amazon as well, or Goodreads, anywhere where you purchase books as well.
Okay. All right. Very good. And thanks for your question from out west. And let's see, who else? Oh, I've got, okay, Judy, who's in Oregon, and she said, I love the fact that you've made music and books as well and are planning poetry. What else do you see? Do you, let me read this little. Got to get my readers on, Zeta. Do you see yourself staging plays of your work?
Judy, great question. My dream is to actually have the Miami Music Mystery Series become a TV show. That's actually my goal. I don't know if Peacock wants to pick it up, or I don't know, Lifetime. I'm out there. Just contact me so we can make something work. So, yeah, I would actually love for my series to turn into some sort of series. Maybe find a writer who can turn the novels into, you know, screenplay. But I'm not quite there yet. I still need to finish book three.
Oh, of course, Zeta. First things first. Gotcha. no problem. We got it. You're going to make us wait, but we understand. You know, that is that's a good thing. And as you were mentioning earlier, like with your sister's things with you, sometimes when you have a book signing that you do perform, you do sing?
I do. I pretty much sing on all my book signing events. What I do is, as I introduce the book, I talk about the book, and before I start autographing books, I actually sing acoustically with my guitar. My sister, she's in town, a couple of originals and a couple of cover songs. One thing I love is when I sing, I love seeing everybody sing together. I think music is the one thing that always, like, kind of brings people together. So whenever I do a cover song, I make sure I do one that I know that people know. And when I just sing, when I just see everyone sing along with me, it makes my heart just smile so much. So I do perform at my book signings, and then I'll sign the books. So
I think that's great too, because, when I'm not doing podcasts or being a personal assistant to the Corgis, my business is publicity and social media management. And I began working in the business working for things like HBO documentary premieres and Feld Entertainment and such. So the woman that hired me to work with her agency sent me to school at UCLA for film unit publicity and all kind of entertainment publicity courses. And that's one thing I've told my clients, you know, don't, and I said, if you don't believe me, ask a bookstore manager. Nobody wants somebody who just sits there behind a table and waits for people to line up the way it happens on television, because it doesn't do, you know, you don't expect. And, I said, make it an event. Don't say you're having a book signing. Say you're having an event. You know, have some music. Sit some food out. And I swear to you, you know, people will come. They will try to avoid you. But if you've got a plate of little brownies or cookies there, people can't help themselves. It's like people in an office. Anytime there's food, they cannot get away from it. Everybody, it's like that's the last food on earth that they'll get. And put something out there. One of my first clients I had, you know, we made it. He had a book about a detective that had a bad coke problem, so he was a bad detective. But when he got fired, he made a great crook with all the people he used to arrest. So I said, let's make like a little nightclub, because he had nightclubs then, and we had police tape around the area in this Barnes & Noble, and blue lights and torch singer, which was me, and a friend of mine in that area who was a burlesque queen came out and read with them, not in burlesque clothes, but, you know, I said, make it an event. And it sounds like, you know, you're way ahead of people, too, because, yeah, you've got great music, you've got great books, you're a great writer, people love you, but then you bring that extra sparkle that draws people in, too. It's an event, so hooray for you, sister.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoy doing it. I love performing. It's the one thing I know, you know, that I'm good at. I can never, and by the way, I can never, like, stand still. That's why at all my shows I always have a wireless mic, because you'll never find me on stage with the band. You'll always find me in the crowd with people, like, just singing with them. Sometimes I forget that, like, I'm the actual lead singer and I should be, like, working, but it's just fun being out there with everybody and enjoying their night with them. And at least I'm giving them a couple of hours to just forget about anything that's going on and lose themselves in the music. So
that's cool. Okay, I got a message that came in too from Nicole. And Nicole is in Birmingham, Alabama, and she says, I have just tuned into this. I am loving this show. And then it says, OMG, Zeta, I'm checking out your books and your music now. Thank you so much, Madam Perry. Well, thank you, Nicole, for letting us know.
Oh, thank you, Nicole. Please stay in touch via Instagram. I love getting messages from people, and feel free to follow me, and I'll follow you back. I really like staying in contact with everyone that enjoys my music and my books as well.
Good. And also, you know, I don't know, I guess you do travel some with your book events and with your music performances, don't you? I don't know how far you travel outside of your state.
I think the most exciting book event that I recently had was in Massachusetts, and I actually had a table, an author table, at the Nancy Drew Convention, which was it was the coolest book signing event I've ever done in these last two books that I released, and I got to meet the author or the artist for the covers of Nancy Drew. I got to meet some of the ghostwriters for, you know, the latest books and so forth. So the event itself, Massachusetts, is how far I've pretty much gone from Florida. And it was an unforgettable experience. And just to be surrounded by fans who love cozy mysteries was also amazing. And but I don't think a lot of people in Florida know what a cozy mystery is, but if you're a Nancy Drew reader, I mean, that's what she is. You know, she's a cozy mystery genre. So it was really cool to be surrounded by what I call my people. So I loved it.
That's right.
I absolutely loved it.
Those, you're right. Those are your people. Or as you say in Florida, mi gente.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I see some of the musicians you listed that you're inspired by are Jewel, Pink, Rob Thomas. Rob is an Atlanta guy, so you should also think about Atlanta, too. Put us on your tour.
Yeah. I would love to. If I find like a really cool bookstore over there that I can play some songs and sign some books, I definitely will go.
Oh, honey, that'll be no problem. That will be no problem at all. You know, your sister, Madam Perry, will certainly give you the list there. And then also think about, too, a club like Eddie's Attic, which is very popular. So look that up. I'll send you some info on that.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Where a lot of musicians play and got a start, too, like the Indigo Girls and Sean Mullins and so forth. And I think we've got John Mayer. And, right there. So, yeah. Look at me. I'm not even hired for the gig, and I'm already putting you on tour. So let me ask you, when did you start playing instruments, and how many do you play?
I started playing the piano when I was 13 years old. My mother is an amazing pianist, and she used to teach piano as well when she was in Cuba. She taught me how to play, but I picked up an acoustic guitar when I was 17, and that was really the instrument that kind of stole my heart. That was the instrument that spoke to me. So I started playing the guitar, and that's what I primarily play now. That's what I write all my music with, is with a guitar.
Okay. All right. Well, it's one thing, Richie is actually in, okay. Richie says he's in Glasgow, and he said he's listening live, which is very, very late for him, so he must be a night owl. And he says, you know, I've listened to your songs, and then I listened to Bulletproof Queen, and I wanted to know, where did this hard rock voice come from all of a sudden, listening to your delicate female voice in the interview? She may not tell me, Richie. I can't promise anything.
Don't worry. I am not taken aback by his question. A lot of the times when I would perform, sometimes people would pull me aside when I was on a break and ask me if I was lip syncing. Because every time I spoke on the microphone, I'd be like, hi, everybody. I hope everyone's having a good day. And all of a sudden when I was singing, I used my diaphragm, like, big time. Mm-hmm. And my voice is a lot lower than my speaking voice. So it's all about diaphragm. That's why my mother loves going to my gigs, because she'll see the change of expression in everybody's faces when I stop talking and start singing, and she feels so proud. Because they're like, where does that voice come from? And I'm like, it's called vocal classes and my diaphragm.
And I mean, and the video, now, who styled that video? Who came up with the concept?
The videographer that worked with me, Anthony, was pretty much his idea, and we filmed it in Palm City, Florida. So that was a 9-hour day for me, but it was a lot of fun to film that video.
A 9-hour day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I would have been sweating, my hair falling off, you know, hanging. Like I just gone to the jungle.
I had a lot of hairspray, my friends. So much hairspray in my hair. Nothing can do
it. Well, I tell you, a good hairspray is a good friend.
Aquanet. Oh,
Aquanet won't let you down. That's the truth. Okay. I'm going to take just one more break. Just a minute. I need to play a little ad and for a very nice person who's sponsoring this episode, and also have a message, and it'll be about 2 minutes long, and we'll be right back and with here at Madame Perry's Salon, the podcast that loves you, with the one and only Zeta.
Ugh, what a day. I just need some me time for once. Yes, perfect. I got the new bath bombs today. Peach and clove, here we come. Mim and the Anvil makes the best smelling herbal blends of bath bombs. You can order loose or ground herb, added buttermilk, extra large, even ones with hidden gifts inside. There are over 25 essential oil varieties. After today, my body definitely needs some spiritual nourishment and lots of fizz. Her metaphysical blends are soothing in more ways than one. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. Make time for yourself. There are over 100 herbal blends of bath bombs. Keep a healthy body and mind. Feed your soul. Visit mimandtheanvil.com today. If you don't make time for yourself, no one else will.
I mean, the world has gone crazy, right? I mean, this whole pandemic, I don't even know if I'm coming or going anymore. You know what I mean? But the one thing during the pandemic that I found out, right, that was a good thing, was the Madame Perry Salon. I mean, this podcast, right, when you hear her laughing, all you want to do is laugh, right? When her dog's barking in the background and she's talking to the duck, she's going to an interview, and I'm like, this podcast is the best podcast I've ever heard before. You know what I mean?
Oh, Sebastian, so nice of you to say that. This is Madame Perry back here with Zeta, composer, performer, producer, writer. I have no idea what else she does with this. I wouldn't be surprised. We've got just a few more minutes with Zeta, so if you want to call and ask a question, the number is 646-716-9922, or you can always send me a text, a message on Facebook if you would like. That's fine, too. Okay. Oh, I've got one. So this is Laverne, and Laverne is in Athens, Georgia. You know, where we had that big college, right? University of Georgia, really?
Yes.
Bulldogs. So this is Laverne. I'm in Athens, and I'm enjoying the show. I just wanted to let Zeta know that we love the video, too. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thanks, Laverne.
Thank you, Laverne.
Tell all your friends in Athens, and maybe we'll get her to come out there to a bookstore. So,
by the way, you do have an amazing laugh. I just wanted you to know. I love hearing you laugh.
Thank you so much. You know, I love that you say that because when I don't know, my mother always hated my laugh, and if people made me laugh, she'd say, "Don't make her laugh. Nobody wants to hear that." And I said, "You know, I think you're the only one that seems to be bothered by it." So thank you very much. I do appreciate that. So what can we look for next with you? What's coming up? You've already let us know. I'm going to be sharing for everyone listening. I'm going to be sharing how to find Zeta. I'm going to give you all of her social media links and websites so you can keep up with her. And what else can we look for soon? Have you got any secrets you can let go of? Any previews?
Well, like I said, yes, I did start book three. I want to be done hopefully by July and August or August. So it's going pretty well for those who have read the second book. It kind of ended as a cliffhanger, so don't worry. I will make sure that there's an answer to the question that the book ends with. I've introduced a couple of other new characters. I'm really excited about this third book. It's really coming along really well, dialogue wise as well. That's for me. It's not the synopsis that's difficult to write. It's more of the dialogue. So that's actually coming out smoothly. So, and hopefully I can write a couple more new songs this year and maybe record them by the end of the year. So depends
that
how many words I have in my mind that I can share.
Okay. So that's, so we've got it here. She is on the third book. And you've already started writing it, correct?
Yes. Five chapters in.
Okay. So you're going to have to break that down. Five or six chapters in means how many people have you killed so far?
Not yet. I'm on the cusp of kind of killing someone right now.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to ask anymore because
on paper, I know that.
Okay. No. Listen, everybody has something they, some saying or whatever that they, a belief that they live by. And mine is, you know, whatever I don't know, I can't be subpoenaed for. So that is fine with me. And listen, I do know that Zeta is on Twitter because that's how we met. I was watching her stuff, and I thought, oh, this lady is amazing. Oh, my gosh, I've got to get her on the show. And before I even ask you, you asked me, how do you get on the podcast? I'm going, well, funny you should ask. I was about to ask you, so that was perfect.
Great minds think alike.
Oh, absolutely. So, sweetie, thank you so very much. I am just thrilled to have you on the show. Look forward to the next book, the next music, whenever you're going to be close to us or people can hear you and see you live. And Zeta, I do hope you'll come back. You've always got a place here in the genie bottle that is Madame Perry Salon.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on your show. It's been a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed your company, and most definitely your amazing laugh. So you keep laughing no matter what anyone tells you.
Thank you. Thank you. I think laughter is a gift from God. So, yeah, I do. Well, you know, I'm going to close out with my another motto of mine. It's a song, well, my husband and I wrote, and it's called Everybody's Got to Swing. And so everybody, you know, I always tell you, everybody listen, Michelle, James, everybody, Laverne, Nicole, Peter out there, Matt was listening and texted in. I'm loving this. Who is the guy? Our fellow in Glasgow, Richie, thank you so much. And be good to yourself.
Goodbye,
be good to each other. And I think you're all wonderful. David, come back and see us, and we love everybody. Everybody.
Well,